News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'll take that as my cue to start talking. Jackson here, Melissa's here somewhere. It's May 22nd, talking about the Border Patrol Museum in Northeast El Paso on Trans Mountain Road and the history of that federal agency there. So, hey, good morning, Melissa. How's the world of Melissa doing?
Good morning, everyone. I'm alive and well and on the second week of recovery from my knee surgery.
Okay, so you've got one knee down and you're going to do another one someday. We'll hear about that at that point.
Oh, yeah, right. It'll be a while.
fair enough there. So, hey, we got this this place where we're talking about on it's on Facebook, the Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show, streaming live out there. And also, this is where we say Texas history begins in El Paso.
And also, people can catch us via, just if they want to listen to us on their radio, via ktsmradio.com, .com, which will take you to the iHeartRadio link, where you can catch us on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. You'll never miss another show with us.
All right, fair enough. We got also the history moment today?
Yes, we do. It's talking about the first female, or first El Paso female professional rodeo rider.
And that's going to be today on the second hour. We'll get that going over there. Fair enough there. Okay. What we're talking today is about the National Border Patrol Museum on Trans Mountain Road in Northeast El Paso. And it's the only museum they have in the country. And we'll be taking a tour and hear about the Border Patrol's century of history. Our guest today is the director of the Border Patrol Museum, David Hamm. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Glad to be
morning,
here.
Morning, Dave.
And Melissa's going to throw questions at you out of the corner.
Okay.
You just won't see it coming. Fair enough. Andrew, we up on Facebook? Hey, hallelujah. We're doing good. Our thanks to Andrew in the control room in there, because we do this radio thing like normal, but then we went to heck and said, okay, you know, let's put some TV to it, so that's what we're doing now. But the National Border Patrol Museum on Trans Mountain Road, one of two museums sitting there. Now, who was first? Was it you or was it the Archaeology Museum?
Archaeology Museum was first.
And they're actually a city museum.
Right.
And you're a nonprofit 501c3. You're not directly connected with the Border Patrol organization.
That's correct. We're not a federal institution. We're a private 501c3.
But you represent a federal institution in your information.
Yes. In fact, there's a congressional law that allows the Border Patrol to donate artifacts and memorabilia and provide technical expertise to the museum. That law was started with Alan Simpson and Ted Kennedy was a co-sponsor, so that's where we're unique in a lot of different museums.
Well, also the Border Patrol Museum being in an unusual place, you don't step too far outside your grounds for the same reason they don't at archaeology, right?
Right.
Because you're on the Casner Range.
Yeah, we're on the old Casner Range, and there's some explosives still out there, so we don't go too far past the signs.
Were you out there in 95, 96, back in that long ago?
excuse me.
Take another shot of tequila there if you need to.
Yeah, I need to.
That's what I tell Melissa to do.
The museum was built out there in 1994.
Yeah.
So I was in El Paso at the time. Well,
that's right about when they had one of those big fires. And the guys next door stayed there all night and were trying to put out fires with a hose. But we're talking about a range fire, mm-hmm. and the explosions they heard, they said they thought it was ordnance.
Yeah, they've done, I know, two different remediation projects the Army has, and because they were based there at the museum in our parking lot. And there's quite a bit of ordnance still out there.
Oh, there is. So we're talking about the Border Patrol Museum. It's the first one you come to when you enter the Casner Range area from the east side. And there's a lot going on there. We got some pictures of the Border Patrol Museum up there. Andrew, tell me when you get one of those. I need to go see the picture myself, because at this point I don't have the feed up here. I got to click on you. Oh, there you are. And there's our whole thing there. And the thing about the Border Patrol Museum, it's always been to me an empty box. There's no windows on that thing.
Not currently. No, we do have a new addition that has windows to it.
But the normal big old museum-looking thing there.
Right. Well,
talk about the museum and what's in there, because you've got all kinds of interesting stuff in that museum.
We've got quite a few interesting things. Like I say, a lot of it comes from the Border Patrol. Some of it comes from private individuals who donate things to the museum. We have a Piper Cub that the Border Patrol pilots flew. We have a OH-6 helicopter that the Border Patrol flew until 2011. And we also have early sensor equipment, just a lot of exhibits, a motorized hang glider, a raft that was used to some Cubans used to come from Cuba to the United States.
Okay, so this is not just Border Patrol equipment. These are seized vehicles, right, and methods of transportation,
right,
that come at the Border Patrol on a daily basis. That must be what's it like to be a Border Patrol agent?
What's it like to be?
Yeah.
it's an interesting occupation. I was in for 31 years, and hardly any day was the same.
I bet.
It changes every day. So, it's gotten a lot more difficult.
Oh, I would think it has, and you got to speak Spanish quite well to get up and go to work.
Yes. You have to, in order to graduate from the academy, you have to be able to speak Spanish. And if you want to become really good, it's a continuing education type of thing.
Melissa, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it kind of makes sense to be able to speak Spanish, but also there's a lot of people that come across that border that don't speak Spanish, so you have several different people coming across the border.
Right. It becomes difficult. We've caught Chinese that don't speak Mandarin. They have a different dialect, so you have to find someone who can speak Toshan, for example. You have the Baltic countries. We had a female agent that spoke Baltic languages, German and some other languages. And when we were catching those folks, she was acted as an interpreter.
Well, you got to be able to accommodate anything. Let's go to another picture number two there, Andrew. Inside the Border Patrol Museum itself, these are some of the displays and the kind of things you have. I'm just imagining in my mind that he's put this up yet, because you can't see it yet. You see the thumbs up in the control room? It's up.
We'll see it.
It'll show. That's the thing about Facebook. What we're doing here is live, and Facebook treats it as though it's going to take a while to get it out there. So the audio and the video are together once they hit Facebook.
Okay.
Audio right now is on KTSM AM, and the video is me and you talking, yelling at Andrew.
Okay.
So, it's just what we're, and Melissa's in some far off country known as El Paso, but
yes, the west side.
Coming in by phone. Well, the thing about the inside of the Border Patrol Museum, take us through some of the things we're looking at, the founding members.
Okay, the Border Patrol Museum was founded by a group called the Fraternal Order of Retired Border Patrol Officers, FORBPO. They formed in 1974. Out of that group, there was a group of them that wanted to have a museum. Some of them didn't want to have a museum. They took a vote, and they decided to have a museum. So in 1985, it came to fruition when it was established in the basement of the Cortez Building here in El Paso, Texas.
Was it part of the Community Foundation?
I don't think so at that time.
Because that was their domain for a while. And so where'd you get the money? What kind of money did you need to build a building like that?
Well, we built that building in 1994 after having some problems downtown with the lease. It was done purely through donations. For instance, an American Legion post out of Los Angeles called the Anthony Onetto Post donated $40,000 Anthony Oneto was a Border Patrol agent, was a Bronze Star winner in World War II, then became a Border Patrol agent and was killed in the line of duty. They donated $40,000. Another individual donated over $200,000. When we opened the doors in 1994, the building was paid for.
And you'll still take a donation?
We still take, absolutely.
I'll bet you. Well, throw the phone number out there. What is the phone number?
915-759-6060.
So somebody ring it up, think they'll take care of them this morning.
Yes, they can.
Because the museum's open.
Yes, it's open.
Even though the director's sitting here. Yeah. Melissa, go ahead.
Let me ask you, if somebody has something that might be of a good exhibit or an artifact for the museum, would they also contact you, or is there a process to go through?
No, you'd absolutely contact the museum. We have what we call our collections manager. She manages all the donations and collections that people donate. We call the museum and ask for the collections manager, and we would love to have just anything related to the Border Patrol that's of historical value.
What would you expect somebody to have, like a uniform, a shirt?
Well, we have a lot of uniforms and shirts. What we like to have is picture albums.
Oh.
Historical documents. What I'm going to talk about today, a fellow had a picture album. And it's one of our prize exhibits. And it was donated by his family, a guy named Gottlieb Lenacall.
Did he take good care of the stuff?
I'm sorry?
Did he take good care of the pictures? And
oh,
all?
Yes.
That's the hard part. I mean, yeah. You got a shoebox full of pictures. Some are kind of wrinkled and crinkled and like, who's this? We don't know. They didn't write on the back.
Well, that's what's so good about this guy. He actually wrote on his pictures and identified agents.
Right. Okay.
There were a lot of shootouts in that early time. We're talking in the 20s and 30s.
Oh,
and he documented the shootouts and took pictures of where it happened and where the agent was killed, where the shooter was shot. Very, very interesting book. He also included newspaper articles of the time. So if you have an agent, like, say, Mr. Scouten, who was killed in the line of duty, there's all the newspaper articles, El Paso papers, that describe the whole incident.
And they're in the museum somewhere displayed?
They're in the museum. We don't have that on display now because it's... We have to really protect it, especially the newspaper articles.
Well, I'm going to picture number three, Andrew, and we're going to take a break here in a second. But we got a bunch of pictures from inside the museum that you kindly sent to me. We have them ready to go here. And it looks like a well-organized museum.
Well, we redid the museum starting in 2024. We finished in 2015.
2014 to 15?
Yes, in time for the FORBPO convention here in 2015.
Well, that's right. You have another big convention coming up, don't you? Or
yes.
A big anniversary anyway.
Yes, the 100th anniversary in 2024, and we're politicking to have it here in El Paso because this is where the legend began. That's our motto.
Well, the whole point is the Border Patrol began here. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Fair enough. Taking a break here now on the El Paso History Radio Show. David Hamm is our guest, the director of the Border Patrol Museum. There's a lot of history in El Paso and a lot of firsts, and this is another one. I mean, this is the first and only place there's been a Border Patrol beginning.
Right.
You can't have a second beginning. We got it. This is the only place the Border Patrol has a museum. We got it.
Correct.
And people just live in here, think, oh, that's cool. It's out there on the highway. But they don't realize how this ranks on a world scale. That's what we try to point them out.
Yes. And, you know, in a normal year, we have about 20,000 visitors, and we've had them from 52 different countries.
Fantastic.
We're publicizing it more, so it's helped until COVID happened. But
you got to work on your poppies too.
Yes,
because I mean
that's a big disappointment.
We talked to Jeff Romney next door about that. He says, "I don't know. I'll tell you my solution for him. You may or may not like it, but that's another matter entirely."
A water hose.
Yeah, well, basically they need water out there. If you put water in that desert, those things will grow. So we'll get you some hoses and see.
Yeah.
Pick one spot.
Last year was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But we were closed. Everybody was closed.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right, Dave, we're going to take a break here. Melissa, you doing okay there? You got some people looking at us?
Yes, we do. We have somebody, a young lady, Maria Badigan from Utah, who is based, her hometown is Van Horn, and she's listening in. She's talking about the museum, saying what a great place it is to visit. Linda Hart Goggin was asking, do you have a section for the canines in the Border Patrol Museum with pictures and such?
Oh, she has pictures, she says she does.
Yeah, she was a police dog handler, and her husband worked for Border Patrol.
Fair enough.
She may want to share some of those pictures with you.
Oh, that'd be great. Somebody from Fort Worth is looking at Homer Thomas.
Homer and Betty Thomas.
And then Harry Kirk all the way from the east side. Thank you, Harry. All right, taking a break. We'll take a call if they want to feel like dialing up a number. What number might that be, Melissa?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
We've got your stimulus right here. And this one isn't on you, the taxpayer.
Awesome.
No way.
Awesome.
Listen for the keyword and enter it into our website for your chance to win $1,000 with the $1,000 stimulus.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands' only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
I'm Larry Gelwicks, the getaway guru. Join me on the Travel Show every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. We talk all things travel, favorite places, how to travel more and pay less, secret hideaways, discount airline tickets and cruises, and the best travel deals on the planet. It's the Travel Show every Sunday evening, 7 p.m., right here on News Radio 690 KTSM. And I'll tell you where to go and how to get there.
Last weekend's Casa Buick GMC Sunday sales event was a huge success. So now we are inundated with terrific trade-ins. Cars, trucks, SUVs, sports, luxury, economy, all on sale just for you this Friday and Saturday. Financing available through more than 20 banks and credit unions. Buy here, pay here financing on-site by La Casita. Casa Buick GMC, the new home of the nice guys. Montana at Airway by the airport.
Stay tuned and stay informed with News Radio 690 KTSM, an iHeartRadio station. News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Talking Border Patrol today. Got a lot going on there. Got a couple of announcements here. You can also send us an email anytime during the radio program, and that email is going to ephistory690@gmail.com. I'll take a look at it right here on my computer. And also, just to let you know, we have a YouTube channel. It's called El Paso History TV on YouTube. So you go to YouTube.com, search El Paso History TV. You will find all kinds of free television there to watch about the history of El Paso. We put the El Paso Gold DVD series up there. It took me, 20 years to put that stuff together. And that's now on there, a bunch of them. Also, a bunch of segments from, it's called ABC7 TV series we did called El Paso History TV. And we put that out there on that same channel. It's got a different playlist. Take a look at that. That's the one with Bernie Sargent, and I went around all over El Paso and put that together. And also, just subscribe there if you wish to. Go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV. All right, Melissa, what do you got?
Well, the El Paso Community Foundation's 14th Annual Plaza Theater Classics Film Festival returns this summer. It's from July 29th to August 8th and will be held in and around the El Paso Plaza Theater area. And also, this year, the festival's known for its great schedule of classic movies, but it also offers local filmmakers an opportunity to submit their films to be shown in the 4th Annual Local Flavor Awards, where they could win a piece of the $2,500 prize pool for different film categories. Now, the entry for those is, the deadline is 11:59 p.m. on Monday, June 14th at 2021. So visit the Plaza Theater at plazatheater.com to submit your film or find out about this year's film lineup and special guest presentations. Or you can call the El Paso Community Foundation at 915-533-4020.
So David Hamm's sitting here. We had a question on the Facebook about canines. Do you have a section at the museum showing canines?
Yes, we do.
Tell me about it.
Well, there's a little bit of history there. When the museum was started, one of the ladies that worked there, Brenda Tisdale, husband, was a Border Patrol agent. He started the National Canine Facility here in El Paso. And so it was near and dear to our hearts, the canine. So we have quite an exhibit. We have pictures of the early dogs and their handlers, some of the tools that they used to train the dogs. We have several urns containing the remains of dogs that handlers have donated to the museum. So we have a pretty extensive display of canine history there.
So how many canines would be out on a given day? Is that classified?
I couldn't tell you that.
You have a bunch of them, right?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. In fact, they have now at least two canine facilities, one in El Paso and then one in Harpers Ferry, Virginia.
All right, let's take a look at more things inside the museum. What do we got here? Did you end up picture three, Andrew, the chronology of the Border Patrol history? Take a look at that. Tell me about that, because, I mean, we're going to get maybe more in the second hour. We're going to get more to the actual history of the board. Do you have this up on a board in the museum?
Yes, we do go by decades. We start from 1919 to 1924, and then from 24 to throughout the history, the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, all the way to 20.
So 1919 is when the Border Patrol itself began, or predecessor?
That was when we had the Mounted Guards, what they call the Mounted Guards, which was part of the old U.S. Immigration Service, which was part of the Department of Labor. And they had a border guards, what they call border guards. And the first border guard that was killed was Thad Pippin, who we'll talk about, and he was part of that service. And he is on our memorial board. But the actual Border Patrol started, the date is May 28, 1924.
All right, what you basically have here in a time period, you have the Old West, and El Paso was sort of like a king of the Old West, even though Tombstone is more famous in Arizona. They got the first big movie. And that's why, I'm serious, that's why they are much better known in the gunfight. Am I right, Melissa?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they got the movie, so they got the fame. But El Paso was actually one of the wildest places, wasn't it, Melissa?
Yes, it was much deadlier than Tombstone. It made Tombstone look like a sleepy little village out in the desert. But we were just crazy for many years.
But also 1919, when this Border Patrol predecessor began, you had the Mexican Revolution just winding up. El Paso was kind of a crazy, fun, but not always simple place. You had, I think the last big gunfight on the street was like 1905, Melissa?
I think it was 1905.
Yeah. 05. And of course, you had up until then, you had like 30 years of gunfight history. So what happened was, I think what happened, and then Prohibition was 22.
It started 1919.
Okay. So right then is when the problems hit the fan.
Exactly.
All of that going on, and you need some federal police on the border. Is that basically what happened?
Yes. Yes. That was one of the issues. The Border Patrol was created.
More tequila.
I'm sorry. The original purpose of the Border Patrol was to chase or apprehend Chinese aliens who had been deported back south or took off back south into Mexico. But because of lack of laws at the time and because of the prohibition, bootlegging was so prevalent that was their main focus for about the first 10 or 15 years of the Border Patrol. And it was a very violent time.
Oh, I bet it was. Well, let's talk about that in a minute. We need to take a break here and come back and deal with that. And the questions would be, what kind of El Paso was there at the time? Border Patrol starting up and looking around saying, oh, what do? We just kind of like contain the border. There was no fence at the time, I don't believe. So we're talking more about these details. David Hamm's our guest. We're talking about Border Patrol history. And there's a museum in northeast El Paso you can take a look at. It's open today.
It's open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4:45.
Exactly 4:45.
Yeah, because we clean up. We
And then you go home.
Then we go home.
Fair enough. Taking a break here. The number, also, look at us on Facebook. We've got the El Paso History Radio Show page there. We are streaming live as well. Are we not, Andrew? We are streaming live as on the Remember in El Paso Win page, as you can go there and take a look. Or, you know, we put the phone number out there and nobody called. I don't care. Call if you want, 544-whatever.
I was also going to say, I just posted the website for the museum along with the phone number. Someone would like to get a hold of David Hamm or some of the other people at the museum there.
Okay, fair enough. 544 is our number?
5876 or 544-TTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Summer's right around the corner and the coolest new shirts just arrived at UNTUCKit. We have performance shirts that wick sweat, short sleeve styles to beat the heat, and our comfortable polos. UNTUCKit shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so they're just the thing to look and feel cool in the summer heat. And UNTUCKit shirts are perfect as we transition back to the things we've been missing, like dinner with friends, reuniting with family, and vacations too. When the heat is on, the number one shirt to keep you cool is UNTUCKit. Use code SUMMER for 20% off your first purchase at UNTUCKit.com.
President Trump just said that Newsmax TV is really good, and he's right. Millions watch Newsmax, and you should too. They have great shows with Greg Kelly, Grant Stitchfield, Sean Spicer, Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, Steve Cortez, and more. Newsmax is never afraid to report real news. Newsmax TV is now on all major cable systems, or get it free on smart TVs, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and Amazon Fire. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone. Watch Newsmax today for real news.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I want to tell you about a couple of things going on. Celebration of Our Mountains, a fabulous organization. They have two events coming up, both on Saturday, May 29th. Be a late afternoon and into a nighttime trip there to Aiden Crater. And an earlier Bureau of Land Management Las Cruces office wild bird photography workshop. Those things are going on the 29th of May. Get a hold of Jim Talbert. Ring him up and say, I want to talk to Diego. And he, it's his first name. That's the middle name. Whatever. 525-7364. What do you got, Melissa?
Well, I wanted to give a big thanks to our show's sponsors. We have Pepe's Restaurant, located at 6761 Donovan Drive in Canutillo, home to the one and only margarita. And they have eat-in, take-out, or have Pepe's cater your next event. Give Pepe's a call at 915-877-2152. Or if you're looking for a top-notch property management company or rental, then you need to contact our friends at Monterey Asset Management. Visit their website at mnewcp.com or give them a call at 915-592-4549. And we welcome our newest sponsor, which is State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, and he's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number.
Yep, yeah.
915-581-0000. And call 915-588-1850 to reach Patrick Tuttle of Legacy Real Estate Services. Patrick is a top sales leader in El Paso and New Mexico and also has a large list of great rental homes. Call Patrick at 915-588-1850. And we can't forget Mission Del Rey Southwest is holding their annual spring walk-in sale with 20% off everything store-wide. And don't forget to mention the El Paso History Radio Show when you check out. Mission Del Rey is located at 1421 Lee Trevino in Suite A7, and that's over off of Lee Trevino and Pelicano. And their phone number is 915-440-2140. And the old picture town, Mission Del Rey's old picture town, is going great, and they need ideas for the final section of the town. Jackson, do you know if they've completed that yet?
No, not as of last week. It was still open. So you go out there, take a look at it, make a suggestion. And you suggest you put Melissa's picture up on the wall.
Yeah, put Shady Lady's house.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. That'll be.
That's a great place out there.
And I love their store.
With all that bigger room they took on, they do have some places that they're cooking up for displays and pictures and stuff. All right, talking Border Patrol history with David Hamm. And we wanted to go into the kiosk, back to the history kiosk for a second.
Yes, a few things I'd like to talk about.
Talk about that, David.
Well, you know, there's another reason why the El Paso sector has the motto where the legend began. The Border Patrol was founded in 1924. There was no training school. It was basically learned by the seat of your pants. The district director here, Mr. Wilmoth, and the patrol agent in charge decided that we needed a training school because there was a lot of issues. So in December 1934, they started the first training school here in El Paso. They taught marksmanship, Spanish, law, how to fix a tire, because a lot of these folks had never been around automobiles before. So they taught them how to service vehicles and stuff. The program was so successful that the following year, they required that all Border Patrol inspectors attend the training school here in El Paso. So that's well documented inside the kiosk. Also in 1960, the first hijacking occurred here in El Paso, and it was stopped by the Border Patrol. They actually shot out the tires of the jet, and eventually the guy surrendered. Also in the 60s, the Border Patrol, 300 of them were deputized as deputy U.S. Marshals and went to Oxford, Mississippi to help integrate the University of Mississippi James Meredith. It was a very...
That's a different chore.
Very different and a very rough time. There were over 100 of them injured in that event. So that's some of the stuff we talk about and document.
And you have pictures on the wall in there?
Yes,
we
have pictures.
All right. So we'll move on to picture number four. Head to number four there. And at this time, you're going to talk about the newest exhibit, the BP Academy.
Right. The first academy was here in El Paso. And then we also had one at one time in Las Cruces. But then after El Paso, it moved down to Los Fresnos, Texas, which is in South Texas. It was there for a number of years. They went to Glencoe, Georgia, at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. It was there for a number of years. And also a satellite academy in Charleston, South Carolina. But in 1991, I believe, it was moved to Artesia, New Mexico, and it's been there ever since.
So you have Border Patrol installations that are not just on the border, but primarily they would be.
Right.
You're talking northern border Canada and Canadian and also here.
Yes.
But then you have these little pockets of schools and stuff.
Yes. Well, the National Training Academy is now in Artesia, New Mexico.
Artesia. Okay. So on the border, you've got the Border Patrol, you've got Customs, you've got ICE. Explain all that. Who are all those people?
Well, the Border Patrol has responsibilities between the ports of entry.
Okay.
The Customs, Office of Field Operations, OFO, has the ports of entry.
Okay.
So that's the difference between, now that's the difference between the two of them. ICE is primarily responsible for interior enforcement. They do some investigations along the border also.
But the guy standing there and saying, are you an American or not?
Is a CBP guy.
Okay, but then when you get up to the Paraje in central New Mexico, he's a Border Patrol guy.
Right. That checkpoint is a Border Patrol.
Okay, so just so we get that clear.
Yeah.
Who everybody is. All right, moving on to the picture of the hand glove. What do you got there? Picture number five. Oh, you guys pick up some cool stuff. That's the hang glider. Now, that was being used to smuggle stuff.
Yes, it had 250 pounds of marijuana on it.
Oh, my God.
It crossed the border in the Boot Hill of New Mexico. It was detected by LPO listening post. They called the air operations people, and they followed it to a place just west of Lordsburg, where they landed. The Border Patrol was there and apprehended the pilot, the dope, and two guys on the ground.
I went to a hobby shop. I won't say the name, but I was asking the guy, you've got some pretty big radio-controlled airplanes here. What's the most bizarre thing that you've ever seen somebody want you to do? And the guy said, well, we had the biggest airplane that we could make, and he wanted to take everything out of the insides, and he wanted two controllers. And we guessed what they were doing with that airplane.
Yeah.
It takes off in Mexico. It shows up over here. And the guy picks up the control and it takes it on. You get a lot of that?
Yeah, there's still the hang gliders. But what they're seeing a lot of now is drones.
Yeah.
Carrying, they carry up to 10 pounds of meth or something and bring it across and drop it and fly back and get more. And,
oh, my.
It's a never-ending
battle. I was going to say never-ending. The term comes to mind there. All right, let's move down to another picture. We got the hang glider. What else is in that picture? I missed it.
There's a there's a on the far end, there's a raft that was used back in the early 80s. They left Cuba. They had a Russian outboard motor, and they went from Cuba to one of the Keys in Florida. A heck of a journey. We have that. There's some homemade motorcycles that they use to transport people.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a dune buggy there.
Yeah.
That was caught in Yuma that had 200 pounds of marijuana on it. So we have that also.
You took the marijuana out?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Just in case. I just was curious.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, probably a good thing. Yeah. All right, Melissa, we're going to take another break here. We'll come back and talk more about this because we got some more pictures to show of the Border Patrol Museum. David Hamm is sitting here, director. And why don't we just do this? By the way, I want to let you know, the guy in the control room helping us out today, Andrew J. Polk, he's got a show here Monday through Friday, Talk El Paso, 4 to 5 p.m. right here on 690. Talk to him on Monday through Friday about anything and everything. Today we're talking history, so there's a cool thing. All right, Andrew, you ready for a commercial? 3, 2, 1, go.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call certified property manager Ray Baca, 592-4549, 592-4549.
The premiere of Pass of the North radio show kicks off Saturday, April 3rd at 8 a.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. on KTSM 690. For more information, visit us at passofthenorthradioshow.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
Should Viagra really cost $90 per pill? We don't think so. RexMD has FDA-approved generic Viagra medication of that little blue pill starting at just $2. Why pay huge pharmacy prices when you can get the same results for a fraction of the cost? Give your bank account a break. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you'll get a starter pack prescription of industry-leading generic Viagra medication. Just call 800-426-9561. We've helped over 100,000 men with their sex lives and with getting prescription medications direct. Your consultation is free, there's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. Get your starter pack now. Call 800-426-9561. That's 800-426-9561. Again, 800-426-9561.
History is beautiful, brutal, and often ridiculous. At least it is on the Ridiculous History Podcast. Hosts Ben Bolin and Noel Brown have been discussing ridiculous history for years and have covered everything from Antarctic murders to Chewbacca's bodyguards and so much more.
Fascist dictator Benito Mussolini was super into wearable milk.
Dive into some of the weirdest stories from across the span of human civilization. Listen to Ridiculous History on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming soon to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Presented by Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Now, another iHeartRadio COVID-19 vaccine update.
The call is on for us to get and stay healthy. Health and Human Services Dr. Dorothy Fink says don't procrastinate. You and your family are worth it.
Make an appointment for your COVID-19 if you haven't received it yet, and schedule missed appointments for preventive care.
Dr. Fink says we can do this. Just scheduling an annual checkup is a great next step for health and well-being.
Get the latest vaccine info now at cdc.gov/coronavirus.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Let you know about a couple of things going on here. Cultural Heritage Society of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, that's the crowd in Santa Lazaria, the new people. They're presenting tomorrow a history of Isleta del Sur Pueblo. Rick Quesada is the spokesperson. It's at 4 p.m. online, May 23rd, tomorrow, 4 p.m., a free virtual presentation via GoToWebinar. To get onto that, you go to culturalheritagesociety.com/events. Rick is good. That should be a good thing. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to mention some of the people that are listening in long distance are Daniel Lehman in Tucson, and Mark Flores, of course, is local. Elle Bush, she's a local. But Angie Salazar is checking in again from Colorado. And we have some people from Short, Texas, Dale Hansen. And Chris Martin lives up in Las Cruces, so we're pretty much international.
And did we determine, I see that thing going by there, Linda Goggin has got some pictures. Did we determine there's a way to get those pictures? Is she willing to part with them or let them get copied?
I don't know. That's going to have to be up to her. I'll talk to her, but I'm also going to refer over to the museum and talk
yeah.
to them. They can make copies, too, if that's possible.
Yeah, let them talk directly.
I don't want to forget that the El Paso International Airport, the City of El Paso Museums and Cultural Affairs Department, and the El Paso Museum of Archaeology are offering their newest exhibit at the airport. And they're featuring the works of artist Wayne Suggs. And the exhibit can be found at El Paso International Airport Gallery and is open to the public. The exhibit features pictures of photography of Wayne Suggs and artifacts from the ancient cultural crossroads collection. So
good stuff.
That's running now.
And your Museum of Archaeology itself is not open. Then maybe midsummer, but in the meantime, you can see their stuff. They have another exhibit down at the Museum of Art. This one's out at the airport. So a lot going on there. All right, we've got David Hamm here for a couple more minutes this hour and all of next hour. Let's take a look. You had, what picture are we up to, Andrew? Number four? Go to five. Yeah, five hang gliders and other stuff that you've seen. And we're talking about the various things. Those drones can carry quite a bit of weight.
Yes, they're getting more, can carry more every day, seems like. They're getting bigger drones.
It's amazing what you guys have to, whatever technology the bad guy can make up, it comes at you.
Right.
Right. Well, also, let's move down to, we have memorial rooms in the museum. Let's go to that number seven. And these are memories of slain agents, I take it.
Yes, fallen agents.
And you have way too many of those, don't you?
We have about 132 on the wall right now.
And a story with each one?
A story with each one, yes.
Also, you have another one, the Azraq, what's that?
The Azraq Newton Room. It's also the Anthony Oneto Room. As I mentioned earlier, Anthony Oneto was a Border Patrol agent. He was killed in the line of duty. He was a World War II hero, and they donated money to build a museum. Azraq Newton memorialized two Border Patrol agents who were in the 60s, had a checkpoint in California. They were approached by drug smugglers who took them into captivity, took them out to a shed and shot both of them. So every year now, the Border Patrol honors an agent with the Azraq Newton Award for heroism. They also changed a lot of the way the Border Patrol operates their checkpoints. At that time, there were just two agents on the checkpoint. One of them hadn't even been to the academy yet. So now you have to have at least three agents on a checkpoint. You have to go to the academy before you go to the field. It changed a lot of things.
Well, when you're driving north from El Paso or east or west, you hit a Border Patrol checkpoint. But right there in the middle of all that, there's a field of tripods and cameras.
Yes.
Is that your stuff?
No, that's not our stuff. That's DEA stuff.
Oh, I figured when you drove up, you already know who I was.
The only thing I think we have is a license plate reader. Read your license.
So you do know who's coming up when they show up.
Well, it tells you if there's a lookout on that license plate.
Let's stop this car and see what's in it.
Well, I always
smile and wave when I go by the cameras. Hey.
Oh yeah, I always say hey, how's it going? And they remember you from the last three times you did that too, Melissa.
Yes, all those years.
Oh, God. Well, no, but that's just what that is. And then
it's an officer safety thing also.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And I guess nowadays I don't really want to get into current politics, but the poor guys on the front line now are not doing what they were hired to do.
No, it's a totally different environment than what I grew up in.
Oh my goodness. I mean, what thoughts have you on the history, because you guys had never had to take in this many children.
No. It's like I say, it's, you know, back when I was working, there were several times when they had earthquakes or hurricanes in the Central America, and we would take in refugees on a temporary basis. But we've not seen anything like it is right now. It's amazing.
Well, it is what it is, I guess. But what we're talking about here is the Border Patrol Museum. It's the only national museum.
Correct. It's the only Border Patrol Museum in the United States.
So you've got a museum. Basically, when I looked at it, I've been through it. I look at that. I said, this should be on the Mall in Washington, D.C. as part of the Smithsonian, because it's of that caliber, quality, and history level.
Well, that's been talked about, but I think the feeling is that the Border Patrol Museum should be on the border, because that's where the history is.
Well, yeah.
It's, you know, and it kind of memorializes what these guys do on both borders. I would be opposed to
having, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got to keep it here.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, it did start here.
Yes.
In our second hour, we're going to take a look at how the history went. But what I was getting at earlier is also, I think we sort of made a transition in El Paso of the violence of the border of the gunfighters. Then Prohibition hit the fan. Like, oh, all of a sudden we have a different thing to deal with here. The violence continued.
Yes, and you made a point. You know, the civil wars in Mexico had just about ended. And a lot of those guys weren't shy about using weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And then they started smuggling, making money smuggling booze. So they weren't shy about opening up to protect their cargo.
And they weren't shy about shooting somebody either.
No.
Can you imagine, or maybe you can, I'm sure you can, what it was like being around Mount Cristo Rey back in that time, because that's just an open hole in the wall.
Well, the whole border at that time, there was no fence. Wow. You had Cordova Island, which, because of the way the river Rio Grande changed, it was in Mexico, but it was in the United States,
right,
so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a three-string barbed wire fence that wasn't even kept up. And
that was right on Donovan.
Yes. Yeah, parts of it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. David Hand here. Coming back next hour. Going to do this again. Melissa, stick around, right?
Yeah, I'm sticking.
All right, Andrew, get us to commercial and news, and then come back and we'll talk more about the history of the Border Patrol. See you next hour.
For listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.